Father God, as always, again, we come and we thank you for the word, Father. We thank you that you are the source of blessing and that the Holy Spirit is the teacher and the revelator to the body of Christ, that he's the one that gives us the word. Father, there's no lack but abundant supply because of you, God. And we thank you so much for it, Father, for you giving unto us spiritual revelation and knowledge of all things, Father. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is teaching us and the eyes of our understanding are being opened that we might receive that word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank God so much for the word. Let's open our Bibles back up to Proverbs. Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12. We're just taking our time meandering through the book of Proverbs, picking up nuggets out there on the sidewalk. Every now and then we stop and dig a little bit and go a little further into it. But you have to remember the book of Proverbs, the series is Principles of Wisdom. Proverbs, Principles of Wisdom. So you're expecting to learn how to apply the knowledge that you have and also pick up some knowledge along the way. But we have a lot of knowledge, but are we wise with it? Principles of Wisdom, how to take the things you already know. It doesn't surprise me if I go over some scripture, you say, oh, I know that. But listen to how it's applied. Because remember, we're studying the principles of the wisdom, the proper application of the knowledge. So we're looking about how to apply some things we already know. Let's look here in verse 5. It says the thoughts of the righteous. Thoughts, the things, the ideals, the things that are in your head. The thoughts of the righteous are what? Right. But the counsels or the advice of the wicked are? The thoughts of the righteous are right. Verse 6. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood. That's pretty much what they say. Let's do something mischievous. Let's get into some trouble. Let's lay in wait for blood. But the mouth of the upright shall do what? Now, verse 5 said the thoughts of the righteous are right. And verse 6 said the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. Now, I was reading through that and it kind of popped out, kind of illuminated to me two words, thoughts and mouth. Thoughts and mouth. Now, we're talking about, as they're doing here in Proverbs, they're contrasting good and evil, wicked and not wicked and different things like that. Thoughts of the righteous versus the thoughts of the wicked. The words or the mouth of the righteous versus the mouth of the wicked. Now, stop and think. What we say pretty much is a product of what we think. Most people will give you a piece of their mind if you give them a chance to. So they're thinking of something and they generally give you a piece of mind, not physically, but verbally. Let me just tell you what I think of you. And they express out of their mouth what they allowed themselves to think in their head or what they've been willing to think in their head. So as a man thinketh, we looked at in Proverbs, so is he. So as a man thinketh, also does he speak? If you think that somebody's bad, you have a tendency, if you focus on that a whole lot, not to be able to hold that. No matter how much you try to be positive and to speak positive, somehow if you keep thinking about that, you're going to tell somebody. It's going to come out. Well, you know, I'm just working on my thoughts. I'm keeping my thought life right. But I keep thinking about this. Eventually it's going to come out. I said I was not going to get in their business. I was going to be a person, mind my business, and I was going to keep my mouth. That's none of my concern. But you just keep thinking about other people's business. Then when you see them, you get out a big shovel and you dig in. Because, you see, if you think on it, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. And those things that you think as a man thinketh in his heart, as you meditate those things in your heart, they are going to come out your mouth. Everything that we say started in our heart. It started somewhere in that thought process, somewhere down within that center of the person. That's why it's so important. I think these new age people say you have to have yourself centered. Well, you do, centered in Christ. But if you're centered in Christ, then what flows out of you is going to be Christ. If the word of God is what's at the center of your heart and the center of your mind, and you keep your mind on things of good, lovely, pure, and of a good report, you won't have any problem with your words. When we're having problems with our words, we have to go back to it's coming from what we've allowed ourselves to think. Now, I've told you before, don't get upset if a thought comes to your mind because Satan has access to your mind. But it's not your thought to you sign for the package through opening your mouth, speaking it, or through meditating and spending time on it. Don't do that. If it's something that's not good, lovely, of a pure, good report, what should you do? Don't think. Now, how do you not think on something negative?
Think on something positive.
Now, some people still say, I'm not going to think that. Well, you're thinking that constantly, saying what you're not going to think. I'm not going to think how ugly she is. I'm not going to think how mean she is. I'm not going to think how bad he is. I'm not going to think of them bad kids. I'm not going to think of that. How are you not going to think of that when you keep? What you have to do is just find something else to think about. If you're watching TV, you don't stand there and say, I'm not going to watch that TV. I'm not going to watch that show. I'm not going to watch that show. You change the channel. Because if you got your eyes open, standing there saying, I'm not going to watch that show. What are you doing? You're watching that show. So if you say, I'm not going to think that thought. What are you doing? You're thinking that thought. You have to change the channel to something else. So if you've got a tendency to be negative, then that's only because you don't have a tendency to be positive. And the way to develop a tendency to be positive is to focus your mind on those things. If your mind goes back to somebody else's business or goes back to some negative thing that's going on in your life, you know, understand this is what's happening. Sometimes people are really depressed, they're really down, and it comes from thinking the wrong thing. I didn't say it wasn't true what they're thinking. I'm just saying they're thinking the wrong thing because that is not going to produce, we talked about several weeks ago, thinking about the problem won't produce an answer. The problem is, I just don't have enough money. Well, thinking about you, I just don't have enough money. How about saying, let me think about how I can earn some money?
That's right. Yes. Come on.
Exactly. See, you can get to a solution like that, and that's something else to think about. That's not the same thing. And a lot of people, the devil will try and tell you, you're solving your problem because you're thinking about it. As long as you're thinking about the problem, you're going to solve anything because no positive solution is going to come out of a negative mind. You've got to get your mind positive before the answer can come. Sometimes people are so busy thinking about a problem and worrying about it and praying to God and begging God and thinking about the problem. As soon as you find it, I just don't know. And you forget about it and walk off. The answer comes.
That's right.
Because you had to get out of the negative state to get a positive ground. Faith grows in a positive mind and a positive heart. Faith does not originate in a negative mind or a negative heart. And the thoughts of the righteous are right. They're not thinking about what's wrong with life. They're thinking about what's right if you want to be a positive person. When I stop and think of all the problems and the corruption in the medical industry and the corruption in the media and all that kind of stuff, that's not going to make me happy. That'll make me more cynical. And I may at a moment stop and analyze and think about these things for a few minutes, but I have a conversation on them. But I guarantee you most of my life is not even based on that stuff because I deal with what I'm going to deal with, say what I'm saying, that's it. You're going to do something else because you don't live there. I don't live in negativity. I'm fairly an optimistic person, not a pessimistic person. And the way to do that is don't spend all your time thinking about everything that's wrong.
That's right.
You're going down the road. The thoughts of the righteous are right. The words of the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. Now, they skip right across the fact that, of course, you had to think right because they already told us the right person thinks right. And then the right person has a certain type of mouth. A mouth that is upright. If you think wrong, your mouth is upside down. And you ever notice people think wrong, they don't smile right, they smile upside down? You ever notice that? People thinking about negative stuff smile upside down and walk around with a frown on their face. What's wrong with you? Nothing. What you thinking? A happy thought? No, not a happy thought. Your smile turns upside down when you're thinking wrong. You can't have joy in the midst of a trial when all you have is a trial in the midst of a trial. You don't understand the trial I'm going through. Hey, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them out of them all. I like the way they say that. It's a fact. Many are there, but God. Many are there, but. Don't let Satan have the last word. You have a but every time he has something to say. Now, that's a real simple thing, but you have to replace the negative seed that he sows in your consciousness, that he's trying to get you to meditate to get in your heart. You have to replace it with a positive seed. That's why it's good to know the word, because the word is a collection of thoughts that are godly, that can produce a godly result. The more ignorant we are of the word, the less chance we have of remaining positive and having faith to get the victory in life. I've never known anybody having a whole lot of problems who are positive. Just don't. And I've seen people who have things other people swear they would die under, be negative. And that person say, oh, I see that, but that's not going to take me under. And somebody else be, "Woo, if that was happening to me. Oh, Lord, if that was. Oh, I don't know. I don't even know how you make it, girl. I don't know how you can deal with all that. I couldn't do it. That would drive me crazy. And they're just telling you, it would drive them crazy. And they don't have far to drive to either. If you're going to be thinking all them negative thoughts, thinking you have a positive life, you're already pretty crazy. Because it's crazy to think life is going to work out well if you don't control your thought life. The righteous person thinks right. His mouth is upright. And his mouth, which is a product of his thinking, does what for him? It delivers him. Satan would love nothing more than to have a circumstance in your life, have you meditate the circumstance, have you begin to talk to everybody about the circumstance, to share how bad it is, to tell them how really awful this is and how you wouldn't wish this on your worst enemy, to have you get them to think about it with you, to all of your sad, depressed together. I mean, this is the process that he goes through to get people. You can't get into depression unless you let Satan's thoughts press on you. When you sit and meditate them, they press you. When you say, oh, nope, that's negative. You know, heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. Someday I'm going to see my Savior's face because heaven is a wonderful place. That may seem kind of silly to some people, but if that's what it takes to change your mind, you need to change your mind. Put your mind on something else. If you think it's going to be better, think about, I don't know how we're going to make it this time. We made it before. It's my fault because I wasn't wise. And I didn't do that. Well, maybe you weren't. Repent. Any sin you got, just repent. Repent, forgive yourself, and go thy way and sin no more. God forgives you, and he has no memories of it. Puts as far as it is to east from west. And we have to use that. But many times when we get in that, we let Satan condemn us because of we missed it. Yeah, we know we missed it. We know we shouldn't have missed it. But so what? I missed it. Repent and you go on. Forgive yourself and go on. Think right. What's right? What you did wrong? What you did wrong is not what's right. What's right is going on thinking about the positive and pressing forward. These are the kind of things all of us miss it. All of us trip, slip, fall. Everybody, there's nobody in this room who has not missed it probably this month. And most of us more than half a time. There's nobody in here who has it. But there's some people in here who are down in the glooms and God doesn't love them anymore and they're not going to make it. There's somebody like, well, it's the human thing to do, you know. And there's other people like, miss what? I'm one of those miss what's. Well, let me, I don't remember. Because you get used to forgiving yourself and forgiving others. It's easy to do it. And you don't think about it. You actually learn to forgive and to forget. Somebody else will remind you, you know, you ain't perfect. Somebody else may remind you, well, I'm doing pretty good, though. You know, what kind of person are you? Are you a person who forgives yourself? If you don't forgive others well, you don't forgive yourself. If you find yourself always bringing up somebody else's problems and not being a person, forgive them. They did. Keeping score. You'll never be able to forgive yourself well because you're not a forgiver. And if you are a forgiver, you are a forgiver. You remember sign of spiritual maturity? Be quick to repent and quick to forgive. People who are spiritually mature are quick to forgive because they know everybody misses it. They know there's a devil out there. And if somebody missed it, they say, did you make it right? Yeah, I made it right. Well, praise God. Isn't Jesus wonderful? And that's all they're really thinking about. It's hard for Satan to get you depressed when you refuse to even be repressed, to even be able to put it on you. It happened. It's over with. You can't repress me with that again. Why? Because I have no emotional remembrance of it. You might remember that it happened, but God's forgiven me for that. I forgive me for that. And you go on down the road. I think about what's right. Some people won't go forward in their financial success because they keep thinking about their financial failure. Remember, you can't think about what's wrong and go towards what's right. You have to replace it and say, hey, this is where I'm going now. Oh, it's going to be wonderful when we get there. You can't say, oh, this sickness wouldn't be on me if I just knew what I knew and I just ate right and did what was right. No, you just say, you know what? Healing belongs to me. And I'm going to do anything it takes to receive my healing. All the rest that's under you. Always have to think about the positive part, because if you don't see things changing, you have no hope. You have no hope. You have no hope. And if you have no hope, you can't possibly be in faith. And through faith and patience, We see the promises of God. And if God has promised that you'll be healed, that you'll be whole, that you'll be blessed coming in, blessed going out, don't you have to maintain your hope? And you can't maintain your hope with statements like, it's never going to change. It's always been like this. It's always going to be like this. And then Satan will give you reasons. It's because of the man. And then, of course, you say, well, that is true. It is the man. It's not me. It's just the man. It's not the man in the mirror. It's the man outside the mirror. That's who it is, the man outside the mirror. Remember, until you understand that you are your own worst enemy, Satan is not even my worst enemy. Satan is irrelevant. He's irrelevant. Jesus defeated him so bad. If I walk in authority that I have, Satan is irrelevant. He can't make me sick. He can't keep me poor. He can't cause me to treat people bad. He can't make me go to hell. What can Satan do to you other than talk to you? And you talk back to him with the word. What can he really do? If you are really free from the bondage of sin, what happens to you that causes you to fail that you didn't somehow allow? I know people will say mean things to you, but how big is that? Why do you think you can control people anyway? If they say something mean, you don't get upset. Yeah, nobody believes in me. All of heaven believes in you. Yeah, but nobody, thinking the wrong thought. You're thinking about the few that don't. Most people in the world, not thinking about you at all. So obviously everybody's not against you. Most people ain't even thinking about you. And all of heaven is thinking about you winning. And all of heaven has paid the price for you to win. There truly is more to be for you than they are against you. And you and God make up a majority. Now, that's the kind of thought that will empower you to press through any circumstance. And that's why God say, think on these things. That's a good thought that heaven's on my side, as long as I'm on heaven's side. That's a good thought. That's a lovely thought. If you have one person that loves you, you can think when nobody loves you, say, but so-and-so loves me. I'm loved. I don't need anybody but them and God. I can make it. I'm loved. Or you can go to the people who Satan sent across your path who won't love you no matter what you do, whom you can't please no matter what you do, and you put all the emphasis on they are my reality. You will never be able to control them. They're going to think whatever they want to think about you. They will be unfair to you. They will do all that. But what you do is you just say, you know, they're free to do that. But thank God, just because they talk about me, that doesn't make it true. Just because they think negative about me, it doesn't have to affect me. You control the power. I've said it so many times. You control the power. What you think is what's important. It's not so important what happens to a man as what happens in a man. What happens in you when the devil finds somebody to tell you you're dumb, stupid, ugly, and you're never going to make it? What happens in you? Think about it. If you really did your best, you tried hard, and the devil has a boss that looks at you who doesn't appreciate you or anybody else and says, you know what? You're just not doing a good job. And I mean, and they're not fair in their assessment. Sometimes they're fair, but they're not fair in their assessment. You know there's nothing humanly possibly you could have done better, couldn't have prepared any better, couldn't have studied any better, couldn't have prayed about it anymore. You've done all you knew to do. You've done the best you can do. And then they say, you know what? You're not good enough. What happens in you? What happens in you if your husband turns and says, I don't like the way you look? What happens if your wife turns and says, you've gotten fat and dumpy? You're not that football player I married. What happens in you when you put all your hopes in trying something and somebody says, that's not good enough? Do you try again or you say, I guess I'm just not good enough? What happens in you? It's not as important what happens to you as what happens in you. Everybody who succeeded in life has failed in life. There's nobody that's just born and succeeds. There is an element to success called failure. You do fail your way to success. It's the man who keeps getting up and coming back. The one who keeps getting up, coming back. The one who, like Thomas Edison says, when you messed up, you learn a more intelligent way to start again. You don't say I failed. I just now learned a more intelligent way to start again. Think about that. You've heard these things before, but do you hold these thoughts in your mind or do you hold the thoughts that I'm sure you've heard from Satan before, too, in your mind when things go wrong? So we have the same sets of thoughts, but the ones that we claim to be ours, the thought that the devil gave that you're not going to make it, or the thought that God gave you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. As you think, so will it be. But what thought do you choose? The thoughts of the righteous are the right thoughts, but the counsel or the thoughts of the wicked are deceit. They're wrong. They're incorrect. The words of the wicked are to lie and wait for blood, but the mouth of the righteous shall deliver them. Why? Because in the midst of the trap, in the midst of the snare of the devil, in the midst of the devil telling you you're not going to make it, the mouth of the righteous delivers him.
Yes.
What do you say when the pressure is on you? Is there anybody under pressure now? You don't tell me about it, but is anybody, you say, well, right now I'm down in the valley a little more than I'm on the mountain. I'm under a little bit of pressure. What are you saying? This is for somebody. What are you saying? What have you said today to people? Well, you know, it's just kind of tight. I'm so sick and tired of these bills. Oh, you know, I'm not going to make it. Just seem like we never get out. That's what you're saying right there. Listen to it. That lets us know where we are in our faith walk and in our faith talk.
That's right.
And we got to understand we only get results because whatever you say out your mouth, and God knows I've heard some people try and convince me that they really believe what they're saying when it's negative. And they got me believing they really believe it. I mean, they do. They will convince you how much they believe it. I cannot make it another day. I'm telling you, I can't make it. I'm going to kill my husband. I'm going to hang my wife. These kids are driving me crazy. And I look at them and pretty much I believe that they believe that. They got me convinced. I believe they believe it. I even believe they believe it and say it out of their mouth. But I also don't have to believe. I know nothing's going to change. So they change themselves. Because you're out of faith. You're right in the devil's alley. He's got you, the one who has the most power over you, speaking over your own life, releasing those things in the universe that you don't want to have.
Amen.
Because you've been thinking on what you don't want more than what you do want.
Right.
You'd be surprised how people can come up to your belief around you or your expectations can alter. We do have creative power from our mouth. We have ability to create. I mean, we know it. Mark 11:23. I like Mark 11:22 right at the end. It says, have the faith of God. Have the God kind of faith, one scripture says. Have the God kind of faith. What kind of faith does he have? He says, if you open your mouth and you speak something and you believe in your heart, you speak it, you believe in your heart. As a man thinks in his heart, as a man believes in his heart, you open your mouth, which is based on good thinking and good believing. You open your mouth. There's power that comes out in that that you can create things in your life. Or here's a good one for you. You can recreate your life. You can recreate your life with your thoughts in your mouth. You can recreate your life. Are there some elements in your life you don't like right now? Maybe some things that you have chosen to be sad about. I don't like that they made me sad. It's making me sad. You control you. You feel however you want to feel. And I say that and some of you still don't believe it, but you just say the word more. You do feel however you choose to feel. If you feel bad right now, it's because you chose to. Now, if that's the first time you heard that, you might say, Pastor Good, you just ain't had no problems. Everything's working out for you. Yeah, I've been there, too. But still, I have to understand that if I know that Satan can't take me out, I don't feel like I'm going out when I know he can't take me out. But what you're facing right now is you feel there's no hope. You feel you're not going to get through. You don't think it, but you really feel your God isn't big enough to help you this time. Or you feel you've made a mistake that's so bad that there's no way God can get you out of this one. Isn't that the kind of thoughts we think in order to feel that you don't understand? Nobody knows the troubles I've seen. Nobody knows how bad it is for me. If I only had, if I just could, if only I had the chance they had. Well, you may never get the chance they had, but everybody had a chance they had and they still made it anyway. The chance that you have to speak the word, to believe the word, to go into action, which is faith, that's enough. That's enough for you to conquer life. The ability that you have to get wealth, the ability that you have to receive healing and health, that's enough. You don't need anybody else's ability. You don't need anybody else's anything. You just need to do what they do. If they eat a certain way, you need to eat like they eat. They think a certain way, you need to think like they think. They manage your money a certain way, you need to manage your money like that. If they pick that type of man, you need to pick that type of man. If they pick that type of woman, you need to pick that type of woman. Success is a repeatable formula. If you want to have a certain quality of marriage that other people have, find out people that have a quality marriage and do what they do. Look at how the husband treats the wife. Look at how the wife treats the husband. Now, it's going to be hard. You're going to look a long ways to find a true godly marriage. Some are more godly than others. But to find a perfect godly marriage, you're going to have to look a while. The best thing would be looking in the Bible and it says what a man ought to do and what a woman ought to do. And then you mind your own ministry as a husband and mind your own ministry, not your wife's ministry as a wife. And when you are the perfect husband, you'll open your eyes and realize your wife isn't that bad. I like one thing that. Watch it now. Don't get in trouble. On comments like that, you're supposed to look straight ahead. Nobody know we're talking about you. Watch it. People know you tell on yourself. But I know what you're saying, though. Helen and I have been there in times past. Everybody's been there in times past if you've been married at all. But the key to that marriage thing is the key to your marriage is you. The key to your spouse's marriage is them. And if I tell you, if everybody would just make that adjustment to be like God themselves, I'd say themselves because a lot of you say, I've been working hard trying to get him to be like God. Well, I've been working hard trying to get her to be like God. But what you need to work hard is you be like God. Because I'll tell you, when you're more like God, people's problems just don't bother you. Because do you think God really falls off the throne when I miss it? Do you think God wants to divorce me when I'm not perfect? I'm kicking you out the kingdom. I don't even want you to be my child anymore. He just says, well, you repent, I'll take you back. You don't, you stand out there in the wilderness. Simple as that. But he doesn't change himself. God doesn't change for me. He doesn't change for you. Why do we say we're God like, but we change based on other people? I'm in love today, but you didn't do something I wanted you to do. I don't love you tomorrow. But you loved me yesterday. How come you don't love me today? Because you didn't do what I expected of you. What is that, control? And all of us, men and women, think when we marry people, we can control them. I like the little phrase. I don't know where I got it from. It just came up to me one day that nobody wants to be your monkey. Your monkeys entertain the circus. You grind the wheel. They stick the hand out for the peanuts. They do all the kind of stuff. Nobody. Is there anybody in here that wants to be their spouse's monkey? Nobody wants to be anybody's monkey. You don't even be your boss's monkey. Now, what causes people to feel like they're being a monkey? A person who's thinking that when I married you, you're supposed to entertain me. You're supposed to make me happy. The Bible commands the husband to mind the things that please the wife. The Bible commands the wife to mind the things that please the husband. The Bible does not command the husband to mind his wife pleasing him. And the Bible does not command the wife to mind her husband pleasing them. And when you put your mind on something, God told you don't mind. Really, what you do is make it worse. Because if I was trying to change my wife or she was trying to change me and I spent all my day thinking about how I can make her be my monkey and make her do what I want instead of minding what I'm supposed to be. Do you know what happened? She'd become worse. If she spent all day thinking about how to make me be the right kind of man, I would become worse. Because neither one of us want to be the other one's monkey and neither one of us recognize the other one as Lord and Savior. So literally what you do is you get somebody coming in between the work of God on that person, getting in and saying, God, you step aside. I can do better. I'm not going to pray for him. I'm not going to do that. I'm about to give him a piece of my mind. You know that's what married people do some of the time. They give out too many pieces of their mind instead of minding what they're supposed to be minding. Don't give out pieces of your mind and don't mind other people's ministry. Their ministry is to minister to you. Your ministry is to minister to them. You can't ever mind their ministry not ministering to you because it's still their ministry. Whether they do it or not well, it's still their ministry, not yours. And I haven't really found people come into office who they have their side of the ministry perfect. And they're just being treated so unfairly because the other person, everybody comes in and says, well, are you doing anything wrong? Well, yeah, I do a few things. Well, maybe they're just doing a few things wrong, too. Do you have a record where they're doing more than you're doing wrong? You think you're perfect? No, I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. Well, why don't you mind your ministry? You got something to do. It's more fun minding their ministry because then I don't feel bad. And then I don't want to do anything. I say, I know it's always easier minding somebody else's ministry because you just walk by and don't have to live in it. You just walk by and say, straighten that up. Change that in your life. I give you to tomorrow. Change that. Work on that. That's always easier. And lazy people, including anybody, me included, always like to do what's easy. You ever known people that have perfect vision on your life? I have the deep revelation of God, of God's plan and purpose for your life. What about your life? I hadn't given it much thought. Because nobody would dare say they're perfect. I haven't given it much thought, but they've given a tremendous amount of thought about the other person's life. If we can really learn to think right thoughts, we will be all right. It doesn't say anything about make the other person think all right, then you will be righteous. It says the righteous man thinks his own right thoughts. Think about it. How bad is your spouse, your boss, whomever? How bad are they? Most of us are not going home worried about if we're going to wake up dead tomorrow. A product of a double homicide from our wife or husband killing us. It's not that bad. But you know, we wouldn't act any different if that was true. Could we act like that's what's happening now? And that's not what's happening. A lot of good things happening. What you think on grows. If you got a crop of something you don't like, you got to go back to what thoughts you planted. Now, I know this is a tough lesson because people don't like to hear the truth that says you are your problem. I'm my problem. If I did something wrong and I'm reaping a harvest of it, I can't blame everybody for not thinking more about me than I even thought about me to make sure I did right. You can't go back and blame the school system for not teaching you what you could have already learned by now since you've been out of school. You can't blame your parents for not giving you all the benefits that if you saved your money, you could have bought them benefits and afforded them for yourself by now. Once you're grown, you're on your own. And you can't blame anybody but you. Yes, maybe if I had, I would have started a little further, but I'm so far behind now because of me. And really, the beginning of wisdom is the admission of that ignorance that I didn't know, I don't know, I did wrong, so forth. But then you go thy way and sin no more and you keep learning more so that you don't do wrong. And what I would like to do, one of the key things I like to do to the body of Christ at Joy Faith is liberate you from putting any responsibility for your life on other people. If I'm unhappy, it's because I'm an unhappy person. If I'm broke, it's because I don't manage money right. Amen. If I have no friends, because I'm not friendly. Amen. If I'm not as far in life as I want to be, it's because I haven't sowed the right amount of seed to reap that. Right. Or I planted seed and dug it up. I mean, who knows an instance of where that's really not the case? Or does everybody believe they have to be right where they are with no choice? I know there's some bad things that have happened in life. My brother raped me. My other one abused me. And I said, brother raped you. I've had men say their brother raped them. I've had women say their brother raped them. I've had all this kind of stuff I've heard. But the key is, does that make you who you are? Does what happened to you have to define who you become? No, you define who you become. And it's only thinking the wrong thought to put you in captivity, to keep you from thinking the right thought, which would lead you to freedom. No, I said it on Sunday. No, my name is not Bill and I'm alcoholic. Well, that's not me. The old man used to be an alcoholic, if you were. Now, I didn't drink, so I wasn't an alcoholic. Somebody go around with Pastor Cook. No, he used to be an alcoholic. No, I'm just throwing that out as illustration. Not that it bothers me if you think it, but it's not true. And if I was, I still would say I was an alcoholic. Not I am an alcoholic. Well, you know, this is what I have. And they tell you the way to higher understanding is to accept how bad you are. No, the reason I got saved is because I didn't accept how bad I was. I would not accept living as an unsaved person. I would not accept going to hell. I would not accept that. So I changed. Long as you accept you're something, it really makes it hard to change. Well, you know, I just don't manage money well. I never was that good to school. I don't know how to love people. I never had any friends. I'm not that good looking anyway. If that's who you accept, what do you think? What impetus do you have to change when you accept the way it is? You just hope, wish, pray it was different. Guys, you have so much power. You have so much power. And it's all controlled on what you choose to think. What you choose to think. What do you choose to think? Now, it's some effort, because if you're in the habit, the way most of us are, in thinking negative, you're not just going to flip a switch and think positive. You have to make a concerted effort. You have to fight the good fight of faith and open your mouth and confess. You have to get up and have yourself, like I have that list of things you say that, you know, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it. Today I do this. Today I do that. That book, Today Matters by John Maxwell, is real good with that. You get up and you make your confessions. You make them several times a day. You write them down on an index card. Whatever you don't want to be, you find out what you do want to be. You write that on a card and you confess you're that. And you call those things to be not as though they were until they come. I'm a friendly person. People love me. There's nobody who's friendly and nobody who's bubbly who thinks they're not. I'm a likable person. I know that doesn't mean everybody's going to like me, because some people are crazy. But I'm a likable person. And most people like me. But if I didn't believe most people like me, I'd be so nervous around them, most people wouldn't like me. Or I'd be trying so hard to get them to like me, they'd say, I don't like being around that person. If you like you, you'll find out other people like you too. But if you don't like you, you'll find out it's true, other people don't like you. That's why that self-esteem issue is so tied into self-creating reality. If you believe you're a likable person, people will like you. If you believe you're a positive person who encourages people and helps people. If I didn't believe I could get the word of God, say something to somebody worth value, I wouldn't be here saying anything worth value. And I say, see, I told you, I don't say anything worth value. Nobody wants to hear me, because I didn't believe it. Do you believe you could manage money so well that you just have an abundance? Do you believe you can manage money so well? Do you believe that you're capable of buying a house and no money down and flipping the property for a $60,000 profit? Do you believe you could do that? Are you waving your hand, or you tell me I'm out of time? I'm out of time? Oh, I see. You got to watch the sound. She doing like that. I said, I'm out of time. She's saying, glory to God. I believe it. Hello. What kind of time do I have, as long as we're on the time? Okay, we got 5 minutes. I thought you said it's over with. Stop. Land this baby. Bring it home. I'm telling you, whether you believe it or not, you can. There ain't nobody out there no smarter than you. You can do whatever you choose to do that is possible for you to do. And things that you believe are impossible actually are possible to be done. Well, but you don't understand. You can run a business. There's nobody in here that cannot. You might make a mistake. You might have already made a mistake, but it's got nothing to do with whether you can run a business. If it's on your heart to run a business, try again more intelligently, understanding what you did wrong before. Go again. If you miss then, go again. And you know what? You'll run that business. If you want to have a perfect marriage and the two of you want to commit, I mean, there's people who want to have a perfect marriage that won't read anything. If you don't know, you got to get the information. There's people who want to have a perfect marriage, won't even go to church where they teach on it. There's people who want a perfect marriage and won't learn how to love the husband or how to love the wife. There's people who want to be rich and won't read a book on how to handle the 3 cents they have. You don't want it. You want somebody to give it to you.
Right.
And the problem is, there ain't nobody out there trying to make me rich. They just don't want to do it. I'm a nice guy, I'm likable, but there's nobody who wants to make me rich. Can't wait for my parents to die and leave me money. They ain't trying to die. They keep eating healthier every year. They trying to go on to 120. You can't count on that one, can I? So what would you do? If you're something you believe, if you accept responsibility instead of accepting the devil's excuses, you'd be surprised at how much further along you can. And I'm talking about, I know I'm saying this now, it's motivating, it's pumping, you feeling good. Why 2 weeks from now you won't be motivated feeling good? Because you don't keep hearing what you're hearing tonight. That's why you got to keep reading in the area of I can. I read all kind of I can. So I got so many books on my little thing, and I put it in. They're working on a car today, and I was sitting there listening to the books. The man said, what you do? Oh, I've got my thing here, and I got about 89 CDs on here, and I'm listening to one on the leadership tactics of Jesus. Jesus was good. He was good at leadership. How you going to get 12 men in 3.5 years to be willing to die for you? And most of them did die. They died a martyr's death even after he was gone. That's some good leadership when you can take a fisherman and a tax collector and a sinner and get them all together. And then when you leave, they willing to die for you. Now, like they said in the tape, he did have a few staffing problems with one brother, though. Did have a few staffing problems with one. Judas wasn't quite on the team right, you know. But for the most part, he got 11 of the 12 and then got a replacement after Judas left. And then he got the job done because you and I wouldn't be sitting here sharing the same message he shared right now if he hadn't got the job done. 3.5 years. 3.5 years lasted over 2,000 years. In 3.5 years with 12 men that taught them how to each reach out to somebody else. Who eventually came down to they taught us how to reach out. All things are possible to him who can't believe. And that didn't mean cannot. That means who can believe. Can you believe that you can be more tomorrow than you are today? Or do you think because of the circumstances, it's never going to change? It's always going to be the same. Well, that's true. It's never going to change unless you change it. It's going to stay just. Life will let you be as miserable as you want to be. You know what? You can decide right now. I see everything you're doing, devil. But you know what? I'm going to put on a happy face. Because it just doesn't matter. You can't take me out. And then once you realize he can't take you out, now you can begin to study, read, meditate, change your friends, get around some people, go on somewhere. I mean, literally, there's people sometimes will come to me. And I was like, well, Pastor Cook, you know, and I could see they really, I preached something to stir them up. Pastor Cook, I really want to do it. Okay, would you go get this book, read this book, study that book. I asked him 2 years later, have you read that book? Well, you know, get away from me. You're wasting time. How many times have we told you things you could do to improve your situation? You don't like your situation. You hate it, but you won't do anything to change it. You like it, don't you? You like that situation. Even when I don't like something enough, I change. You got to be sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I'm like you. I understand that flesh get in the way. You may not get it that first week, but I write it down as something to do. I'm not going to forget it. People have mentioned books to me and I've got them written out. And I said, I got in my heart to read that book. I'm reading this one now, so I can't read that one, but I got that one to read. I was listening to a tape and this guy who's a great leader was listing 6 or 7 books he read that just changed his life. I wrote them down, went on the internet and ordered 4 of them. I may not read them this month, but I'll have them there and I've got on my thing to read them. Why? Because I like the product that they produced in him. And I like to go to the source where it came from. But see, if I want to change, the reason I'm different now than I used to be, and I'm going to be different in the future than I am now, is because I'm in the process of constant change. You're always learning. You said it right. You got to always be learning. You can't be lazy and win in life. And when you learn to enjoy the benefit of reading and being in the know, where you look at stuff and you say, oh, yeah, I know what to do with that. You do like this. And the devil set up a trap and you just do like this and just keep walking. You learn to like that. Because that was much better than saying, how did I get in this? Step right into it. How did I get stuck in this situation? You ever feel like you're stuck in a situation? Because we didn't get the foreknowledge to avoid the situation. Everybody in here, God wants you to smile all the time, be blessed. I mean, even if a trial came, he still wants you to smile and have joy in the midst of that. And you can do it. But I want the church to really understand the cost of that. Count the cost and pay the cost and not play church, but go ahead and be a Christian so you can win and you can walk around just like Peter and Paul. Like, I ain't worried about you. The Lord told me already. Even the Lord told Jesus. The tape's about to run out, but I'm going to go ahead and finish just a little bit. But for those on the tape, you know, we're finished with the major part. But Jesus told him, he said, you know, they're talking about Jesus was Paul. Paul was supposed to go somewhere. And they said he didn't go over there, for they sought to kill him there. And Jesus, the same thing he says about Jesus, he'd go over there, but he wasn't going over there. It wasn't his time. He wasn't going over there. I mean, Jesus, Paul said, I'm not going over there because they're trying to kill me. So I ain't going over there. He knew by the Holy Spirit where not to go to. Do you know what traps not to step in? Some of it's not going to come from reading the Bible. It'll come from being intelligent enough that you educate yourself in the natural, that you understand natural laws. Are you going to find in the Bible, do not step off the top of a building? But do you think you should not step off the top of a building? So there's obviously some good knowledge outside of the Bible that God expected you to still live by. The Bible does not say don't walk out in front of a truck, because they didn't know nothing about any trucks in Bible days. But do you think it's the wisdom of God not to walk out in front of a truck unless you're trying to take that truck to heaven? It's probably a good idea not to walk out in front of the truck, isn't it? So there is wisdom outside of the Bible that will bless you. Pick up a book on money and let God reveal to you which part is right and which part isn't, and you act on that. Pick up the part. Some of you have insecurities. I can tell. I got insecurity books in the bookstore, and nobody's secure enough to buy any of them. Because I know some of you are insecure. God had me put them in there for you. And maybe if it's not for you, it's for a friend that you have. You know your friend in the mirror in the morning? It's for your friend. It's not for you, it's for your friend. But you might want to help your friend out a lot and get your friend a little book on. I read books on security, and I'm very secure. But I read books on insecurity. There's several of them. I got about four or five in my office, because one of these days I'm going to get liberty to teach on that. But you got to be careful, because there's so many insecure people that you start teaching on security, they'll get mad and leave the church. Because, see, you're going to point right back at them, and they're not going to feel good when you say, I mean, we would not just say you're your problem. We will show you how you're your problem. And some folks won't stay in church when you're showing them they're their problem. They're too insecure to even take that. So you got to have somebody that's mature enough to be willing to say, I see how that works. I want to change. How do I change? Holy Spirit, just give it to me through Pastor Cook, through anybody, through a book. I'm ready to change. I want to be different. When people get to that point, God will minister to them. Because first of all, you got to get out of pride. It's really insecurity has an element of pride in it. Because you can't tell me anything because I think better about me than what you're saying. But really, we're hiding because we really do believe what they're saying. And it hurts us to believe that about ourselves. But you have to believe that you're high. You have to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think somebody might not say something to you that's true. Do you think you're perfect? Why be surprised when they say you're not? You have to kind of think you're perfect to be hurt that somebody says you're not. Other than that, you just say, well, that's true. That's a very secure way to respond when you're wrong. Somebody say, you do so-and-so. That's true. That's one of the things I'm working on. But you don't have to be insecure about it. I guarantee they got something they need to be working on, too. I guarantee you they do. Everybody has some insecurity. It's part of being human. That's the word, being human, not being deity. There's something wrong with all of us. And we marry each other and we act like there ain't gonna be nothing wrong with the other person and get surprised when something's wrong with them. There's a whole lot wrong with them. There's a whole lot wrong with you. But you know what? They're still good people. They're still good people. And you're still good people. All that's wrong with you. And if we learn to be more forgiving of ourselves, it's easier to be more forgiving of other people. If we learn to be more forgiving of other people, it's easier to be more forgiving of ourselves. And you ought to look and thank God that somebody married you with all the problems you got. And they ought to thank God that somebody married them with all the problems they got. And you know how sweet you treat each other when you really thank God they married you. I'm so glad you married me. I'm glad you married me. Sometimes I tell Helen, I'm glad you married me. I'm glad you married me. You know that. I look at her and say, I'm glad you married me. And I'm glad she married me. Not that I don't think I couldn't have found somebody else, but I wouldn't have found her. I'm glad she married me. We all got faults. You got problems. I got problems. All God's children got problems. So what? If somebody point them out, so what? You got problems too. It's those people who mind other people's ministry and act like they don't have a problem that you let get to you because they're being hypocritical. But that's their choice. If they want to be hypocritical, let them be hypocritical. Let them go around and pretend like they don't have any problems. We know better, don't we? And you can add one more problem to the list they have that you don't have. You're minding my business. No, I'm not minding yours. I don't have that problem. You're nosy. I don't have that problem. But that's just their problem. You can win, but you've got to get to a point where you really believe about yourself what God says about you. There's no being that has ever been created on the earth that is higher than human being. We are God's highest creation, and we are all created equal. No matter what color you are or anything else, all of us have the same potential to win. We're born into different circumstances, but we all have the same potential to win. And there's no circumstances you're born in that will prevent you to win if, from winning if you won't live trapped in the circumstance. Tell you the illustration again, and I'll quit so you can understand this. They said when they had this one guy was at the circus. You remember this story? God's at the circus, and he goes out, and it's between the acts, and they got the elephants out there. And this guy took a big elephant, tied a little shoestring around the elephant's leg, tied it to a pole, which was like equivalence of a broomstick down in the ground. And the elephant looked down and saw that. And this one guy, not familiar with circus, he came and he's like, why doesn't that elephant just pull that out? Well, when he was small, we tied him with a chain to a big, thick pole that he wasn't strong enough to pull away. And he tried to pull and fall and slip and try and pull, but he couldn't. And after once we had him brainwashed, once he believed he couldn't do it, all we need to do is have something around there and he looks down and he doesn't even try. Now, are they holding the elephant anymore? Or is the elephant captive to his thinking? And as he thinketh, so is he. He thinketh when he looked down, that string is strong enough to hold him. You thinketh because you used to be unsaved and you're still thinking that the devil can hold you, so you don't even try anymore. As a man thinketh, so is he. The first thing you do after you get saved is renew your mind. Because long as you think the way you thought, you'll always have what you've always had. You have to begin to say, I'm well able. And walk right on about your business. And you'll find out the devil can't do nothing with it. Because before, he had the ability to put you in bondage to sin. But you couldn't help yourself. You didn't have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. You didn't have the love of God. You didn't have God shed abroad in your heart. You didn't have an anointing. You couldn't do it. What was holding you is holding you. Sinners are held in their sin by sin. But when you get born again, Satan still runs real quick and puts a little string around you, hoping you don't know who you are. Hoping you don't know that now I can do all things because it's through Christ that strengthens me. And if God be for me, what shoestring can be against me? People still are in bondage to their current circumstances because they don't believe they can read the financial book and understand it. They don't believe they could ever manage their money well. They don't believe they can ever be healed. Their mother was sick, their grandmother. They don't believe. It will be unto you according to your faith. And if you don't believe, it don't not be unto you. It will not be unto you. But if you can just believe, all things are possible to him who can't believe. Pick something that you want to believe and start stating that you're it until you have strong belief. And then read books and other things till you're qualified to step in faith and take action. And you'll find out that it works. Nothing was holding me but me not reading or studying. Nothing was holding me but me skipping church, going to some church that doesn't teach the word. That's the only thing that was holding me was my thinking. There was nothing that was holding me but me. Liberate yourself from your old self. Get free of your can't do thinking. I can do all things. We will have a church of 5,000 with the current people we have, with some of the current people we have, with none of the people we have. It doesn't matter because what will be, will be. And if you won't be stopped, you can't be stopped. And you got to make up a mind, I can't be stopped. Can you be stopped on what that thing is in your heart? If you want to be financially blessed, do you know if you really apply yourself, you read and study, God would give you ideas of how you can not only flip properties, but you might come up with the pet rock. You might come up with the moon ring. You might come up with the cabbage patch doll. You're out there with a bunch of stupid people. If they'll buy rocks and dolls and sea monkeys, I don't want no sea monkey. I see monkeys all the time. I don't want no sea monkey. But people in millionaires try selling sea monkeys. What do you do with them? You look at them and they look back and say, you pay money for me. I see a monkey too. You know, we live in a society of idiots. I'm not calling you idiot because you got sea monkeys, but you mean we live in a society of people that are that gullible that they will spend money on stuff like that. And they will come to church and say, Lord, bless me financially, and take their check and go buy sea monkeys. That's ridiculous, isn't it? Stand up to your feet if you can. Let's take a neighbor by the hand. Sometimes it's just make too much sense to even wonder why everybody doesn't know it, doesn't it? The word's just so simple. Sometimes you wonder why more people don't live by it. More people don't live by it. Take your neighbor by the hand. Look them straight in the eye. We're going to go ahead and dismiss here. Take your neighbor by the hand.